are looking for trouble. Kyle Guskey joins me. I'm going to be his wingman as we start to look for stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, IPOs, whatever it is that's headed for trouble. This is the Danger Zone. That's right, it's the Danger Zone from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And specifically, they dig in at the footnotes level and work their way back, because when you dig in at the surface level, the way most investors do, you should ask yourself a little question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Oh, yes. It's distinctly possible. And at New Constructs, they find it all the time because they work their way up from the footnotes level, going back to the top. They also evaluate mutual funds and ETFs on the basis of how many dangerous stocks they have and what they're doing that way. And the result is that when something looks different to them than it might from surface level, when they find out that the beauty is only skin deep, that is something that could be headed for trouble. By the way, something that is attractive can also be misleading, just it's working in your favor. If you want to find out how it works, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about their Danger Zone picks, and so you can get more information on anything you hear here. They're on Twitter, at New Constructs. Kyle Guskey is investment analyst there. Kyle, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back, thanks.
Who's in the Danger Zone this week?
Transamerica Capital Growth Fund.
Danger, danger.
Transamerica Capital Growth Fund. It's ticker symbol IALAX. What's the problem here?
This is a fund that really shows where holding analysis is needed, because if you look at it on the surface, the stock picking process looks like a winner. They focus on listing their prospectus. They focus on companies with rising return on invested capital, free cash flow generation, and attractive risk reward, which, as you know, those are three of the things we are looking for in every stock, mutual fund, ETF that we're analyzing.
Yep.
Especially ROIC. Unfortunately, when we look at it and take a little deeper look into the holdings, we see that the process doesn't actually find better stocks as we would hope, which could be either bad data or straying from their stated methodology to, you know, chase performance, beat the market, and whatnot. So when we look at it at the next level, we actually see that a lot of the stocks that they're holding have declining ROICs, negative ROICs, and then on a whole, the ROIC of the fund is actually one-third of that of the benchmark and less than half of that of the S&P 500. So we see ROIC well below benchmark and market. Same thing with free cash flow. They've got a free cash flow yield of -2 compared to 1% of the benchmark and 2% for the market. And then add in the valuation of the stocks is much higher than those two as well. And it creates a scenario where you've got a, on paper, it looks good. You dig out into the holdings, it doesn't look nearly as good.
Now that said, I've got folks in my audience who, whenever we talk about mutual funds, they're going to go to another resource, whether it's Morningstar or Lipper, and they're going to take a look. And I have to tell you that IALAX, again, Transamerica Capital Growth, the A shares, mostly looks pretty good. This is one of those. Now, it had a very bad 2019 relative to its peer group. It was in the bottom 2% of its peer group. However, this has been a feast or famine fund. If you go back and you look at the last 7 calendar years, it has had 4 years where it's been in the top 5% of its peer group and 3 years where it's been in the bottom 10% of its peer group. So you're either killing it or getting killed in this fund relative to the peer group. Is that to some extent what you're showing here, is that functionally this fund is headed for a fall, that it may not be that it's a bad fund at all times, but where it's positioned right now is telling you, yep, this is trouble coming?
Exactly. So we're looking at, you know, the holdings, and it's kind of what we call the predictive fund risk reward rating. And we're looking at not past performance. We're looking at the holdings as they are today. And we see that, you know, 85% of the fund holdings are in unattractive or worse rated stocks. So when we look at that compared to, you know, the benchmark of the market, the risk reward just isn't there simply because there's so many unattractive or worse rated stocks that could lead to underperformance going forward. And then we also look, obviously, the cost side, and we see that, you know, at total annual costs, which take into account, you know, the loads and transaction costs and whatnot, are much higher than the average of their style, well above the benchmark or, you know, style ETF. And then when you take those costs into account, it has to outperform benchmark by so much more over, you know, 3 and 10 years that we're not seeing that outperformance. And then looking forward, it doesn't look well either.
Yeah. Now, of course, the cost thing will never change. But the stocks that it's in, that could be something that would be cyclical, that you could wind up seeing this fund becoming attractive at some point down the line if we wind up changing the portfolio. But the cost never changed, because, like I said, this is an interesting one. Frequently, when you guys are picking on funds in the danger zone, you are looking at funds that are in bad groups or what have you, things along those lines. But in this case, we're not talking about that at all. This is in the market sweet spot when you're talking about large growth. So ultimately, this could also be a pick that it can mask a little bit of this for a while, can it? You know, we're always looking for catalysts. The catalyst here is too many bad stocks, but they all have to come home to roost for it to really show up, right?
Yes, that's true. And they're, you know, they have some of the holdings that are some of the, like you mentioned, feast or famine. They've got some of the, you know, recent IPOs. They've got a small position, you know, Peloton. They've got, I believe, Workday, Spotify, Slack. So a lot of those, you know, high growth companies. But if that growth falters at all, we could see, you know, the day of reckoning here, and it comes back a little bit, and we see some of those poor holdings drag down performance as well.
And that is the classic case for how a popular fund, it's got over $2 billion in assets with a good star rating, winds up being somebody else's bad investment, right? And winds up in the danger zone, isn't it? Just kind of, this is the poster child for that.
Exactly. Yep. Like I said, this is where holdings analysis matters. You get to, you know, really dig into the details and see what is underlying the entire portfolio.
And that is why Transamerica Capital Growth, the A-Shares, IALAX, is in the danger zone this week. Not necessarily a fund that you would think is headed for trouble, but that's the reason why you do the analysis. It's why you don't necessarily rely on just one source. And as we like to say, we love the folks at New Constructs, a great way to be your second reference on any research that you're doing. If you want to find out what they think is attractive and dangerous, you want to see how your securities rate and more, go to newconstructs.com, on Twitter, @newconstructs. And if you want more information on what we've discussed, remember that they blog about their danger zone picks. Kyle Guskey is investment analyst at New Constructs. Kyle, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we are heading for home on today's edition of Money Life. We've got one segment left, so stick around. We'll be right back after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.